Good morning. The time is 8:07. Currently overcast skies and 64 degrees at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just a few minutes at 8:15, we will step outside the bubble, talk about issues from different perspectives. With Oliver Burrows, we'll be talking about big event in the city of Milwaukee tomorrow night, the first Republican presidential debate. It will not feature the former president of the United States, but we'll still talk about what the Republicans coming to Milwaukee will mean, both in terms of the race for the nomination and also for the state of Wisconsin, ultimately leading to the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee next summer. We'll also be talking about the whole Donald Trump indictment train. The number of indictments and the charges against Donald Trump nearing triple figures. And is it fair? Is it not fair? Going to talk about that issue. Talk about the library. And something I'm going to talk about in the next hour. Yesterday, and as I talked about on the program yesterday, there was a meeting at the Marathon County Public Library yesterday. A group trying to push a rating system on books. Is this another backdoor way to try and ban books? I tend to think so. It was a Board of Trustees meeting at the Marathon County Public Library. And do folks who want to have books removed have that right? Are they able to decide what books the public should be able to read or check out? Should they be able to be the ones who decide, not the parents of a child, what books a child can look at in the library? Going to go into that a little bit later on in the program because I think it's a very important issue. And where is the money coming from? Again, so many of these groups have these pro-America names talking about liberty and all that stuff. Where's the money coming from? Who's behind this? Is this truly a grassroots effort within our community? Or is this, again, big right-wing money coming into the community to try a town after town, city after city, state after state to push a political agenda? So plenty to delve into concerning this library issue, the library meeting yesterday coming up later on in the program here on Bow Falls Radio. Also, want to remind you that coming up tomorrow on the show, we'll be joined by Shireen Seward. She is the founder, publisher, reporter for the Wausau Pilot and Review. And she has been involved in litigation. The pilot's been involved in litigation with State Senator Corey Tomchek. Corey Tomchek claims that a report before he became a state senator that he used a slur against a gay child. And he claims that the reporting was wrong and he filed suit. The circuit court already tossed the suit from Tomchek, said that there was no basis on the suit proceeding. But Tomchek is continuing to fight it. And when you fight in the court of law against a wealthy opponent like the Pilot and Review are facing and Corey Tomchek, the legal bills rise and rise and rise. And if you're a business owner, it could ultimately lead to the closing down of your business. And in this case, the Wausau Pilot and Review. Again, one of the local news sources here in central Wisconsin. So we will talk about this. We'll talk about the decisions in terms of what to publish and what not to publish, what a lawsuit like this means to the pilot in terms of its future. I know that, in fact, I've read quotes from Shireen that there was hopes of expanding the Wausau Pilot and Review. But obviously, with the amount of money that's being put into defense of this lawsuit, that's been put on the back burner, at least for now. So we'll talk about a number of different issues with Shireen Seward coming up tomorrow at 9:15 here on this program. So again, if you don't keep an eye on some of these issues, they'll come up right onto your doorstep so very quickly, whether within the library, whether within a court case. Again, it just changes. It changes what the Pilot Review thought they would be focusing on this year in terms of trying to expand. Instead, they're trying to defend against what many would call a frivolous lawsuit from Corey Tomchak. And as I talked about with Pat Kreitlow at the end of his program just about 15 minutes ago, we have heard for many, many years from conservatives railing against frivolous lawsuits, about stopping frivolous lawsuits. Well, Corey Tomchak, I think, has a frivolous lawsuit. It's already been tossed once, but he continues to try and fight it. So, a lot to talk about. We're going to take a break, come back, talk to Oliver Burrows outside the bubble next here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app yet, please do so because it's really a great way to check out all the stations on Civic Media, but also here on Bull Falls Radio. Now that we are into the fall high school sports season, the easiest way to hear a game on our sports stream is through the app. Because if you get the app, all you have to do is open it up and you'll see all the stations. Click on Bull Falls Radio and right there on the front page, you'll say the mainstream, Sports 1, I should say Sports 2 and Sports 3. And on Friday night, we have Marathon taking on Stanley Boyd in a game that will be broadcast live here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And also Wausau West will be hosting De Pere. That game will be airing live on our Sports 2 stream. You can hear it on Sports 2 stream either on our website, bullfallsradio.com, but also on your app, on your phone. Just get the Civic Media app, click on Bull Falls Radio, then click on Sports 2, and then hit play, and all of a sudden, you'll be able to hear the Warriors against De Pere live as well. So again, it's really cool that we've upgraded it since last season. Makes the sound better, makes it much easier. So again, my advice to you is to, as soon as you can, as soon as the show ends, go over there and download the Civic Media app. Real happy to welcome back into studio Oliver Burrows, outside the bubble, man that knows something about doing some high school sports as well. I felt bad for you last Friday because, you know, I'm often Superior and I'm getting score updates from you and I'm sending them back to you. And every time you'd send me a score, the Merrill Blue Jays hole is getting a little bit deeper. It was not a fun night at Jay Stadium, was it?
Final score, Osceola 41, Merrill nothing. But you had a nice time in Superior. And by the way, you had a nice bus to ride on.
It certainly helps.
Oh, it does.
it's a long trip and it's... But even on a nice bus, I can't find myself the right position to be very... It's just hard to find that perfect comfort level, no matter what it is.
See, when I was doing Red Raider football in the 70s, and my claim to fame, Packers president Marv Murphy played for the Red Raiders when I was broadcasting.
And who are the Red Raiders?
Colgate.
There you go.
And of course...
I'm sure everybody knows it was Colgate.
Yes, of course. And of course, the late Howard Cosell. The 1932 Red Raiders, undefeated. Untied, unscored upon, and uninvited. Hey, it is good to be back, but you notice I brought the long pin to pop the bubble.
Hey, lots of interesting things to talk about. And of course, you know, it's a national story, but it's focusing here in Wisconsin tomorrow night, the first Republican presidential debate being held in Milwaukee. And the thing that I'm still annoyed with the Democratic Party because obviously the Democrats were supposed to be in Milwaukee for the 2020 National Convention, but of course we were in the midst of COVID, so they basically had very little that was done in Milwaukee. The president, and then I should say the then candidate, Joe Biden, accepted the nomination of, I think, in either Delaware or Washington. I can't remember where it was. But and now I thought right away, the Democrats should have said, hey, we're going to come to Milwaukee in 2024 because we didn't have an opportunity to come to Milwaukee in 2020. They decided, they dragged their feet, and then the Republicans, I think, very smartly jumped in and will be at Pfizer Forum next summer in a very, and obviously a very important state. So I think the Republicans actually got a step on the Democrats in this situation while the Dems now go to Chicago. But tomorrow night, first debate in Milwaukee, basically launching the run to the convention next year.
It was a make good moment for the Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like such a layup to me, and they just wouldn't, they didn't do it. They didn't do it, and even before they announced where they were going, the Republicans said, "Well, if you're not going to jump on board and take Milwaukee, we'll go to Milwaukee." And I think good for Milwaukee to take the tourism money, but I thought it was just a major mistake, especially in such an important state for the presidential election.
Quick sidebar: I can't tell you the source because I don't remember, but there is a national source that said there's 275,000 people who will determine the 2024 election, yeah. 20 counties. One of the 20 is Milwaukee County.
Yeah, so
if that information is accurate, that was a major miscue for whichever party didn't go to Milwaukee. Just put it that way.
There was a poll on CBS News this weekend saying that at this point in the Republican race for president, and real quickly before we jump into that, I want to remind people that all of our statewide shows tomorrow will be broadcasting live from Milwaukee and the site of the presidential debate. So for all the folks that are their statewide host, they will be on site in the lead up to the debate. And of course, we can't bring you live the debate because that's a Fox News debate. But in the run up, make sure you tune in. They'll have special guests all day long from Milwaukee.
But I can't wait to hear Crudy and Dom.
Yeah, they will be definitely right there.
I mean, they're in a pregame show.
Exactly. So that's going to be very interesting, to say the least. But a poll came out, said that 61% of the Republicans that were surveyed still favor former President Donald Trump right now in the in their poll, the CBS poll. And then I know there are different polls. And then there's a big gap to everybody else. Number one. Is that the way that you, in terms of what you hear from your folks that, you know, I would say on the right, is that still Donald Trump has the support of a great majority? Is it rock solid support? Is there you know, are there some people starting to worry a little bit with all the legal difficulties that Donald Trump has? And how much of a factor do you think him not showing up to any of the debates, apparently, is what he says in this run-up now as the campaign gets underway?
One of the things that is getting underreported is that Mr. Trump has said he will not sign the pledge.
Yes.
And if you don't sign the pledge, you don't get to debate. Now, regardless of how, and I see you right now, you're hitting the bottle early today, boss. The thing is here, that is a matter from my perspective of integrity. I don't care who the person is. If you don't believe you can support, and I have heard Mr. Trump say there's several people, I've never heard who by name publicly, he can't support, then he can't really go to any of those debates in good conscience. Here's the difficulty, Chad. The latest semi-confirmed report is that Mr. Trump is going to get fingerprinted in Georgia and put in a cell. Now, I can't say that it's, you know, I haven't heard that the, you know, the prosecuting attorney said this.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine what this will do to the Trump base? And I'm going to differentiate here the Trump base from the conservative base. Now, if you remember Scott Brown from Massachusetts, he's become a commentator on one of the programs that I watch. And even Mr. Trump's former press secretary has said that his going is not going as a mistake. I think at this point in time, it becomes a mistake if eventually he will support someone else should he or she prevail. But if not, I would not want to be wearing the footwear. Flip flop.
Well, tomorrow night, for you and others, I would say, you know, conservatives, and obviously It's going to still be a pretty full stage of presidential hopefuls.
Eight people.
And what do you expect? What do you hope to hear? And I would say it's a pretty good chance that there's still going to be a rather large shadow of one Donald J. Trump on that stage.
And I do believe the following things will happen. One, Chris Christie will come in loaded for bear. His place of 5-6% is not going to rise. But what I saw last night from a poll was that the former semi-front runner with Mr. DeSantis is at 4%.
Which is amazing, isn't it?
Well, what troubles me here is that these debates, you know, remember the Gilded Age? Remember the late
19th? Not personally, but
oh,
I...
all right, now there's the flag. There's your flag.
Yeah.
It's giving him the business. The smoke-filled rooms. We may have gotten rid of the smoke-filled rooms.
Right.
But the Republican Party is still orchestrating. The Democratic Party is still orchestrating. I don't know what Kennedy Jr. will ever be able to do. But I will tell you this, if it turns into Soundbite City, which so often these debates do, I'm making points for my base, and with the stakes raised for eligibility to participate in the next debate based on more money, mm-hmm. you know, more donors, etc., I got from the governor of North Dakota daily emails that I never solicited. Just give me a buck. It reminded me of the old Bob Newhart show.
You know why that was? Because
yes.
you have to get X number of donors in order to be eligible to be on that stage.
Yeah, everybody's working the system.
$1 counts.
Yep, everybody's working the system.
Real fast about Kennedy.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question because if there was a candidate for the Republican nomination that spent all of his or her time talking to Rachel Maddow, talking about how wonderful Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton are, spouting off pieces of legislation or issues where they agree with the Democrats, would you think that Republicans would find that person to be someone, hey, that's somebody we really should, you know, be supporting? Because Mr. Kennedy is spending a lot of time talking to folks on the right, talking to podcasters on the right, talking to Fox News, talking about how he thinks that Donald Trump calls him a friend, and he's honored that Donald Trump calls him a friend. And yet, and there's this idea, and we're seeing him being pushed almost as the Democratic MAGA candidate. But I'm just asking you, if there was a similar person, let's say Ron Reagan Jr., a known liberal, ran as a Republican with a lot of liberal policies and liberal friends he talks to, do you think that he would be considered a popular figure in the Republican Party? Because there are people I see on social media on there, oh, why is they treating Robert F. Kennedy so poorly? I'm just asking you, if there was a similar, if you're looking through the, if you had a mirror that was a reflection on the opposite side, do you think that person would be very popular on the right?
Not a snowball's chance on the 50-yard line at Tom Field during the long game. Not going
to
happen.
It's just interesting that, and again, and the same thing with Chris, real before we have to take a quick break.
Sure.
Chris Christie is getting a lot of media coverage because he has been the one that has been deciding that he's going to go after Donald Trump. I think you hit something very important that sometimes the media is not an accurate representation. And I would say this, Kennedy's getting a lot of coverage as well. I think it's similar in terms of Christie because there's not an equivalent amount of support within each of their respective parties to the amount of time they are getting in media coverage. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on the amount of media coverage that Christie is getting. And based on what you said, the guy's got no chance of getting the Republican nomination.
Since we got to go to break and maybe we can pick it up afterwards, I'll give you a one-word answer. Contrarian. And that's what each of them represents on their party's side of the ledger.
And it's fun for the media to have contrarians, isn't it?
Absolutely. Why do you think I'm here?
I was going to say the same thing. Again, we're outside the bubble. It's Oliver Burrows joining me. We'll take a break. News update coming up. CBS News at the bottom of the hour. And then Brittany Merlot will have an update here from Bow Falls Radio in North Central Wisconsin as well. The time is 8:29, 64 degrees, overcast skies. More to come here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:34. Overcast starts. It's going to warm up today, and then it's going to get really hot into the middle of the work week. We'll get all the details on the weather when we're joined by Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology coming up at 9:06. But right now, we're continuing outside the bubble with Oliver Burrows. I wanted to talk about something that you had mentioned the last time that we were here, and I didn't get into it last time, because you had said during the conversation, and it was, I'm not even sure what the topic was, but you had mentioned that you thought that you did not think that the way that Donald Trump is being investigated was proper, or I can't remember the exact words, if you recall.
I'm trying to remember the exact word, and I can't.
But along the lines that somehow there was something that wasn't kosher about the way things were being done.
Here's the difficulties, Chad, and I'm going to take the most recent indictment. Now, how often do you see a press conference for an indictment at 11 p.m.? How often do you see the situation that came up with the special prosecutor? Now, it's the other side, but it shows a difference in approach. Contrary to stated regulations that a special prosecutor should come from outside the government, and Weiss, the attorney for Delaware, excuse me, is the special prosecutor there. When we take a look at things, I am surprised, and this is going to throw everybody, they're going to throw me over the boat. So my name is Job. I'm out of the boat. Mm-hmm. I am surprised that at this point in time, there has been no consideration that Mr. Trump, with the nature of these charges, is not considered to go to jail during the time awaiting. I asked myself this, and it sounds like I'm talking both sides here, but if there were other people with this many indictments, I mean, let's look at Georgia, which has been since the last time we visited.
I think it was unfair, maybe, the way the word. I'm not sure, but let me ask, before you go delving into it, but I want to make it, I want to get really bore in on this, because, I think you agree, I think we can start with a point of agreement concerning the criminal justice system, that it should be blind, that everybody should be treated fairly within the system. And I think that this country has a long way to go in order to get to that point. I'm going to put out the premise, as opposed to being, that Donald Trump is being treated unfairly, he's had a lifetime of being treated with kid gloves. And I think you're talking about the same thing, that other people may be, put behind bars if you had 93 significant, charges put up against you, some involving almost treasonous activities. Donald Trump would not be in any kind of trouble if he never run for president of the United States. I'll agree with that, that he would have continued just breaking the law because he's got status, financial status, social status, and we see that over and over again in this country, where if you have financial wherewithal, financial status, social status, you get treated not unfairly, you get treated more than fairly, and then maybe unfairly on the other side. So I get frustrated that anybody thinks that Donald Trump, of all people, is being treated unfairly, because if you look at his life, he has been skirting the law his entire life, in my opinion. Again, I'm not...
We don't have adequate time to investigate or address all of it.
But let's take your premise. Let me get right down to the bore of this. Is Donald Trump being treated unfairly?
The way the prosecutorial process is operating, I have significant questions. Your point is accurate. Remember, I do remember we talked about this. Mm-hmm. Mr. Trump's legal bills, reportedly, over $60 million. There is not, and you're going to address that topic tomorrow. I heard your lead-in.
Right, right.
Those who have the means, whether they're corporations or individuals, have an unequal advantage. Is it fair? Boy, that's tough to call. And I did probably use the word unfair. Maybe I should have said unequal. Here's the difficulty we have right now. And it's the very same thing kids do. Well, what about so-and-so? Mm-hmm. Look at what's happened with the investigations of Mr. Biden relative to documents. But people forget that the only avenue for justice at this juncture is impeachment and a trial, because he occupies the Oval Office. So when we start to say unequal, I start to say to people quietly, because usually I need that 3-ounce Omaha steak to throw in, the remedies are totally different under our Constitution. So this is where we have to understand what's unequal, what may be perceived as unfair. Your point about the justice system is totally valid. Remember the Tom Cruise movie in the 90s? Show me the money!
Right. Jerry Maguire.
Yes. That's where I think we have to say here, yes, he has resources that I don't know who else would have.
Let me ask you as well, because I get so concerned as well because of the language that's been used over the last, man, you go back, it's hard to believe now, 2023, he went down that escalator in 2015. Since then, we have seen, I think, an anger within this country that people, anybody who says that how the president of the United States, or leadership in general, whether it's, you know, president or those leading figures within the Congress or governors around the country or even mayors within a community, the way that those people carry themselves, I do think, have a major factor in terms of how the people, the general public, behaves as well. I think it's really hard to argue that the way that Donald Trump, from the very beginning, from his very first speech, talking about the rapist and talking about, you know, everything else that he's talked about over the years, about enemies of the people within the media, talking about rigged justice, that he constantly is taking, I would say, an axe to many of the institutions that are the foundation of our country. And yet, he has more than 70 million people vote for him in the 2020 election. He has, according to the CBS poll this weekend, a large lead among Republican primary voters, and is in all likelihood at this point, and I'm somebody that's seen enough primary campaigns to say that it's not over. I mean, a guy like DeSantis, I compare to, say, in 2008 when John McCain was, I think, in a similar position. We started off very high. Ultimately, he lost all his money. He was way down low. He cut a lot of staff, but it ultimately came back. So I'm not willing to say DeSantis is done. But at this point, Donald Trump seems to be the face and the voice of the Republican Party. And I know that you may push back on the idea that he is the voice of the conservative movement, but a lot of conservatives are behind him. But I guess the point being, is there any concern on the right that so many of these institutions, or do they all believe that every institution in this country is poisoned?
It's going back to the idea of draining the swamp. I want to draw a contrast here. Hi, I'm Jimmy Carter. He was from outside the system, mm-hmm. came from Georgia. Some people say he was a terrible president. But whether he was or he wasn't, the comparison I want to draw is he was from outside the Beltline. But look how he carried himself as the outsider. Mr. Trump carries himself in a way that I don't think it's unfair to characterize as bombastic. Why? Because, Chad, we've reached a point in our nation where our minds are disengaged relative to our emotions. I was hearing someone who's not in talk radio talking about the purpose of talk radio is to make people angry.
Yeah.
Now, anger has a place, but emotions, Chad, make terrible masters and can be good friends. You know me, I'm about as emotional as they come. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, when I sat on that side, in that chair, the times that my emotions, you know, there were times I shut off the mic for 10 seconds and regrouped, because that was after that the alarm went off.
Right. But
the thing is, Chad, we're not reasoned anymore. I see this so much. And then when Mr. DeSantis is told by a mega donor, you need to become more moderate, and he cuts off the money. Show me the money.
Mm-hmm.
Chad, one of the best things that could be done, if we really want to change the effect, and we know what Citizens United did, money is speech, and I'm simplifying to be fair.
Right.
We have to understand that it's like the old used car guy. Money talks, nobody walks. That's where the concern I think some of the people have on the conservative side, but they don't dare say it because Mr. Trump will take out the lash verbally. That's why Chris Christie is doing what he's doing. He's doing the dirty work, if you will. He's the equivalent, to go back to hockey, NHL, mm-hmm. he's the equivalent of the team enforcer. Mm. And so it's sort of like, what will happen with the debate tomorrow night? Everybody's going to try to move toward DeSantis. DeSantis will be center stage with the 19%. But what will be lurking out there, and you were right. I want civic media listeners to hear that outside the bubble, I said, Chad Holmes was right. That will be the elephant in the room. And the fact that he's doing something, and I'm not sure, I haven't checked the time to see if it's at the same time with Tucker Carlson as the debate.
Tucker Carlson.
Okay. Here's another steak. But, again, what does the base want? They want energy. What does energy come from? Emotion. What does emotion come from? For the most part, anger. If we keep people angry, they'll be committed.
What are Republicans and conservatives angry about right now? I'm really curious about
this. I could give you a list of four or five key issues. I don't know if you saw this story yesterday. Reportedly, Mr. Biden is auctioning off through a Canadian company all of the unused materials that were allocated to build the wall. I'm bringing that up. I would say border security. I would say concerns about foreign policy. And I would say, going back to what Bill Clinton said to George Herbert Walker, it's the economy, stupid.
Why? We got to melt a minute before a schedule break, but we can float it real fast.
You bet.
Why are conservatives so pro-Putin?
This is a problem that I do not have an answer for. The old adage in foreign policy was, our enemy's enemy is our friend. I can go back to the 50s, and I was just a wee lad. Don't go there.
Oh, yeah.
When we intervened in countries over issues like bananas.
Mm-hmm.
When we take a look at the CIA, Air America, and it's something that is affected our area with the number of Hmong that we recruited and then basically abandoned when we pulled out of Vietnam, pulled out of Laos. Our foreign policy at times has followed that adage. If you're our enemy's enemy, we will embrace you.
Well, who's the enemy that we're embracing Putin for? Joe Biden?
At this point in time, the thing that my former boss told me after I left baseball, he's talking about his day of his daughter's wedding. He said, if I said yes to my wife, I was wrong. If I said no to my wife, I was wrong. If I said I don't know to my wife, I was wrong. It has nothing to do with his wife. It had to do with the day and the circumstances. That's where we get into what I will call circumstantial campaigning. Now, I was unpaid, but I served as campaign manager for one national candidate before my time in radio, another one after. And I believe the second one, if he'd listened to me, he'd be in the state assembly, but he didn't. The first one, we didn't have a snowball's chance. But I will tell you this. If you have someone in office that you can continually find fault with, it is much easier, Chad, to find fault with someone than present solutions that then someone else can shoot down. And that's a problem.
We got to take a break. We got a few more minutes before the end of the hour. I want to come back and talk about one other issue. But I will say, to wrap up this issue, this topic, Vladimir Putin is an evil man. And yet he has so many apologists on the right that really annoys me, to be honest with you. It really is something that is, I mean, you go back to Ronald Reagan talking about the evil empire. This mm-hmm. is the evil empire. And now the conservatives are standing with the evil empire.
Yes, and if you take a look at some of the undercurrents of Ukraine, now look what has happened. We have Maui, $700 per person. Now, that was for prescription drugs. You read the statement. But look at $114 billion for Ukraine. So you see, you end up saying, because Ukraine is a proxy war, we got to go to break. We'll talk more.
I don't think conservatives have a leg to stand on when it comes to prescription drug prices, to be honest with you.
I did not mean to go down a rabbit trail.
That's a whole different subject right there. But we got to take a break. And I'm gonna have a one-word topic coming up next with the last few minutes. It'll be, I want to find out
playoffs,
what it means to the right and what it means in implementation these days. So I got a few more minutes with Oliver Burrows. The time is 8:51. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 12. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app with Oliver Burrows for about five more minutes. I'm going to use the one word, freedom. We often hear those on the right especially try to appropriate that word as one of the basic tenets of conservatism and republicanism. Yesterday was another meeting of the Marathon County Library Board. And we see, I think, issue after issue where we see financial inducements coming through on the right for people to come up and try to, I would say, take away freedom. I'm going to let you maybe disagree with me here, but
thanks, boss.
The idea that, again, we have, I would call them small groups of people on the right trying to constantly either ban books or now rate books in order to keep people from making their own choices for themselves and for their family, and using and throwing around terms like pornographic materials in public libraries, which, again, I think goes off the deep end. Freedom. what does freedom mean to the conservative movement these days, and how do you align that with some of the, I think, moves that we've seen from conservatives in recent years, where I would argue they're trying to take away freedom from people? And I know that we disagree vehemently in terms of health care, what I would call choice, as you call, I think, a moral imperative in terms of the law. But how would you say that freedom fits within the conservative movement these days?
I believe it's the same on both sides, and it's not true freedom.
No, well, both sidesism.
Hold on.
My red light goes off.
I know. Chad, it's the equivalent of hooray for our guys. And what I mean by that is, when we take a look at speech, or we take a look at something like the library issue, and I have followed that. I didn't know you were going to bring it up, but that's okay.
I kind of brought it up at the last moment because I'm going to talk more about it in the next hour, and I just thought, I want to get your thoughts on it because maybe I'm wrong.
Chad,
I'm willing to say that once in a while.
Chad, there's a moral imperative here. Now, remember the Supreme Court of the United States said they couldn't tell us what pornography was, but they would know it when they saw it.
Deep legal thinking right there.
Well, yeah. But this was even before this current court, so we can't blame this one on court. But, Chad, I believe that there are times when we're trying to protect what I'm going to call a moral imperative, whether it's the issue of life, which I maintain and constitutional scholars disagree with me,
right,
is in the Constitution when we see ourselves and our posterity in the preamble. And I'm told by a constitutional scholar when I was in that chair, no, the preamble doesn't apply. It's not part of the Constitution. Okay, that was their position. Don't agree? But I'll tell you this. The materials that we have, and it's not just the issue of pornography, but the broader issue of what people are exposed to. And those...
Can I jump in? We got 1 minute to go. And I really want to get one more point because we have a hard break for the news. But these are all your and people who think like you beliefs. Shouldn't others have the freedom to make their own decisions?
And that's where the word freedom, if we view it as an absolute, leads everybody into issues that we don't want to go to. We don't have the time.
Right.
Have me back again. Yeah, we'll pick up the point. Absolutely. It'll be like the word unfair.
I know.
But yes, Chad, true freedom is the libertarian position. It goes back to some people I taught in economics. We don't want to license doctors. Anybody can go to whomever they want. That's true freedom. And I'm not using it to throw health care, but I remember that topic. Chad, freedom always has its limits, but the question is, are we doing it consistently?
Thank you for coming. We'll have you back soon.
You bet.